Radio Zero.
It's Radio Zero with Rick and Rose, Friday, May 7th, 2021.
We're on Patreon, patreon.com/Radio Zero. I'm trying out a live stream to Twitch and to YouTube today and to Facebook, so
I apologize. Oh, so we're on Twitch right now?
Yeah, really? So it looks like we're coming through on at least one platform. On Twitch, we're PCJC USA.
So I saw a little Twitch PCJC USA thing yesterday. I was like, oh no.
And then on YouTube, I believe it's the Poster Children YouTube channel. It's our music channel. It's got some of our videos, but of course, that other band called Poster Children, some of their music is automatically added to our channel, and we can't.
There's another take Poster Children.
Yeah, there's another Poster Children. There's
not
another
Poster Child.
Nope, another Poster Children. Another Salary Man.
You know what we should call ourselves?
Another Rick Valentin out there.
Salary Man.
Salary Man. But yeah, but
that's
so all
be
of
mine.
This, all of this automatic aggregation, you'll see other people's music. So don't, you know, if you hear like some dubstep with the name Salary Man, that's not us. That's not us.
It is us.
And then
that's me, Salary Ma'am.
I think the angry, the hip hop, the heavy hip hop, that's not us either.
Hi, JD. Yes, indeed. Thank God it's Friday. Philip, hello. Dannon, hello. Hopefully I've said your name right.
Now, the thing is I've got this running on this other program, but am I able to see comments?
Oh, yeah. If you're commenting on Twitch right now, our 12-year-old will watch you.
Yeah, I don't think I'm seeing. Yeah, so this screen doesn't give me
12-year-old. Like I'm in a Zoom meeting, and he comes up to me, and I'm like, it's like one of those important Zoom meetings where you have to have your face on, and you know, higher up people who are wearing suits and ties are there, and he's like trying to. I think this is today. I don't know, or it was yesterday when I was trying to watch The Handmaid's Tale. I felt so bad, but he's like, I'm going to go hang out with my friends, and guess what time we've decided to hit Salary Mammogram? Guess what time we've decided to meet, our 12-year-old says. And I said, what time? And he's like, 4:20.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great. Are you going to be smoking bongs? He's
doobies.
Like, that's a drug time. Isn't that funny? But we're not going to be doing drugs. And I'm like, yeah. Okay. Like.
So thank you to the patrons. That, you know, I decided to put some money towards this multiple live streaming software. So we'll see how it works out.
Yeah.
Thanks for
patronizing us.
And also, I'm trying to get some guests line up so we have a little variety for you all too.
Guests that aren't Bag Boy and Bag Boy's
that
brother
aren't in our house. So hopefully all of that will come together into one giant clot of live streaming and podcasting joy over the summer. We'll see.
That's good. Well, thanks for listening. I just came back from Normal Gadgets.
Oh, wait. Before you go into that, it's also Bandcamp Friday for those of you listening today and live. And so, you know, go on to Bandcamp, find a band's music and buy something from them. It does not have to be our music. It can be. It can be Poster Children, Salary Man.
TDM. Do you have an NFT on there, TDM?
Detecting Machines. There's no, the NFT is not up on Bandcamp.
You know what?
I'm trying to think of Jim's Bully Pulpit, but I'm trying to think of the qualifier on Bully Pulpit on Bandcamp. No, it's not a brain fart. It's that there are multiple Bully Pulpits also, so I want to make sure you support the right one.
So I'm going to give you guys a little, here's the market report. Go ahead, give me some market. No. Thank you. Ethereum is up 1.8. Nope, now it's down. Now it's up 0.98%. It's up 30. No, I think that's something else. But Ethereum right now is $3,519.30.
Yeah, so the upside of that is, it's making my NFT more expensive. So if you haven't purchased the Thoughts Detecting Machines NFT, it is more expensive now because I pinned it at 0.01 Ethereum. So that means it's to buy one, it's more expensive now because Ethereum's gone up in price. But gas prices have gone down a huge amount.
Oh, that's great.
I just did something on the network. And it only cost me a few bucks. So I don't know what the transaction fees will be for my NFT right now. But
it's not going to be $80 like it was when I bought one.
And so even though the price of Ethereum's gone up and the price of the NFTs has gone up, the gas prices have gone down. So this is the time to buy stuff.
And I own Bitcoin now and Ethereum.
Good for you.
So... just so you guys know, my portfolio balance, it's gone down a little bit, but it's $38.26 right now. That's $38.26.
Yeah.
but if I had just been buying 100 times as much, then it would be $3,800.
But
then I would be having a heart attack because yesterday was $3,900. It was $39.
There's it's a very risky market. And prices can plunge, so don't put your life savings into
Ethereum
or any kind of cryptocurrency.
Bitcoin.
Yeah,
Bitcoin right now. So
well, that's your grandpa speaking, Grandpa Rick telling you not to do that. I still believe that an index fund is the way to go over a decades long period of time, but I could be wrong about that. There may not be an index, in 20 years when you need to retire.
So one Bitcoin is $57,000 right now. It is, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if you had bought a Bitcoin like when it first started.
And again,
imagine if you had bought Apple stock, Graham or Rick, whoever you are.
I have no interest in...
Gramp.
I have no interest in...
the stock market.
You continue talking.
Oh, sorry.
I have no interest in... You don't have to stop talking. It's just... I lose my train of thought if I get interrupted. Go ahead. What else? So you got Bitcoin.
I was bouncing off you. Yeah, I have Bitcoin and Ethereum. You do too, though. You would have Ethereum and maybe some Bitcoin. I've got $5 worth of free Bitcoin.
Yeah, I have no Bitcoin. I have Ethereum. Definitely have Ethereum.
Okay.
Thank you for those of you who have bought the NFT so far.
All right, so...
Oh, I got a Meebit. So to continue the people who did the CryptoPunks, it was really nice. So they created a new sort of 3D, what are they called? Voxels. So characters, sort of three-dimensional digital characters generated randomly on the blockchain, Ethereum blockchain. And so everybody who owns a CryptoPunk... got the ability to mint a Meebit. So they kind of cut it in half. There were 20 or 10,000 that were put up for first time, just kind of on the open market, and then another 10,000 were made available to people who had already supported their project. And so that was nice. I got a Meebit.
How do you spell that?
Meebit.
Okay.
And yeah, I instantly got an offer of... What was it? It was
$3,000.
Yeah, $3,000 for it. And instantly. I was like, it doesn't seem like real money, but maybe I worry that maybe I'm supposed to be cashing out these kind of things, but I haven't yet.
What would you do with $3,000 if it just fell into your lap right now? What would you do?
I'd save it. I'd put it in an index fund. Grandpa Rick would put it in a retirement.
What does your Meebit look like?
It's kind of a kid with headphones and a hoodie, I think. Maybe not a hoodie, but it has like headphones on. So yeah, it's that mania is going on. And then what? Yeah, so there's going to be a big Christie's auction of some CryptoPunks too in the next couple of days. So
Yeah, I was wondering when that was going to happen because I was going to buy a little bit more Ethereum.
And then maybe this will all be over. But again, my NFT is not to dwell on this, is not up for bidding. Yeah, that was the thing, is these MeBits, they were, you know, people were bidding on them. It was an auction. And so mine aren't on auction. They're just a set price. You buy them, you have them, they're a thing you own, whatever owning means.
Lars Nielsen says, I'm sorry, I cannot support your positions on crypto later. Sorry to see you go, Lars.
What is our position on it?
Yeah, what is our position?
It's like, don't invest in it. That's my position. Don't use it as an investment.
What am I going to do with my $39, $38?
But if it's the environmental issue, again, proof of work versus proof of stake, Ethereum, the more pressure we put on that and talk about it, the sooner that cryptocurrency will transfer to a more environmentally friendly platform or process. So the thing is this stuff is going to exist, and if you just completely deny its existence and don't participate and don't pressure, then something like Bitcoin, which is a completely ridiculous libertarian fantasy, wet fantasy, you know, is going to still be dominant as opposed to another solution that'll be more environmentally friendly and better for, you know, smaller artists and everything like that. So that's my argument. If what you're doing to solve our planet's environmental problems is to just say, I'm not going to participate in cryptocurrency, you've done virtually nothing to impact, to reverse climate change. We need to do extremely drastic things, and modifying the way cryptocurrency works is literally a drop in the bucket. All right. Yeah, proof of stake has its own problems. Yeah, exactly. But this is all, we're in Friendster era. You know, this is when we work it all out. It's kind of like if you actually, if we all spent the time arguing and examining Amazon 20 years ago, or Google or Facebook, you know, 20 years ago, as opposed to when it was too late. So I'm fine with it. I don't think it's a dominant force. It's a distraction in a way, right? Like we should be, you know, stopping our use of all oil-based materials and oil-based, you know, combustion engines.
Oil-based meat, too, right?
Everything.
So are you saying like...
We need to do drastic things.
We can't buy cryptocurrency because it hurts the environment. Does it hurt the environment worse than eating chickens or, you know, maintaining cow jam?
I think the question is does the current legacy economy, is it more damaging than what our current economy, you know, all of the physical infrastructure in the banking and financial and currencies industry, the computing power for all of that and everything like that. So the thing is that we
mean like banks use electricity too.
Every time you swipe that card at the at your Target buying your $100 worth of plastic
and plant-based beer.
And plant-based.
You hipster.
You're participating in a environmentally unfriendly system.
I was just going to say something too. Oh shoot, I can't remember what it was though. The one thing about the Ethereum and the blockchain for artists, at least, is that you can somehow, your name gets embedded in your work, right? That's what's nice about the blockchain for artists. People don't, you know, like, so if you worked on a record or you wrote a song and it's listed in the, you know, the blockchain is an index, like a register, and your name gets put in it.
Yeah,
I
think the concept is going to be very useful. How it's implemented, fine, we need to work it out. But the idea is that if you're going to be living in a digital world, and being able to track you know, ownership is going to be a good thing, because, you know, I was just in a discussion with a bunch of musicians, and it was like complaining about how they get these copyright takedowns when they put up their own music and everything like that. And it's like, well, yeah, if you have a documented ledger, you know, and that every time a piece of music is used, there's a record for who's, you know, the songwriter, composer, who owns the copyright, you know, all that kind of stuff, then all that bullshit that happens with YouTube and Facebook and all these other aggregators, where it's like, oh, I didn't know I had to pay you. Oh, wait a minute. No, I copyrighted this sample from 1965, you know, and in 2010, and I get all of the royalties from it, you know, that all that kind of stuff that happens. Yeah.
The computer will know. And when I say the computer, I mean the big computer, the internet will know if your song gets played, and it'll generate.
Yeah, just that bullshit that like somebody like Spotify says, oh, well, we don't, you know, or ASCAP and BMI. I don't mean to get into the woods here, but it's all like, we can't keep track of every play. We can't keep track of everything. So we're going to estimate. We're going to give money to the top streaming artists. And if you're not streaming, you know, you're not one of the top streams, you're not going to get a percentage of that money, or you're going to get a lot less.
That will go away.
And then if you actually get paid per play, which you don't on Spotify, even though they give the appearance that you do. You know, it's not like if I sit and listen to Poster Children exclusively on Spotify, that means my $10 or $15 family plan, or whatever they've jacked it up to $16 now, doesn't mean my $16 is going to go to all to Poster Children, because that's all I've listened to in the past month. None of it will probably go to us. A little bit of it will go to us, but a lot more will go to Drake. All right. Sorry. So there are lots of problems. Yes, no, but...
Not sorry. But, sorry, but not sorry.
You know, we need to stop fucking driving cars and
buying
stuff in plastic. Yeah, and going places in fucking planes everywhere.
So as far as the buying plastic stuff, like, yeah, like, you know, like, we haven't, so because of the pandemic, we haven't been going out to eat a lot, right? And we have a small garbage can now. You can buy two different sizes of garbage can where we live. And we have the small one, you know, for like this, you know, not the single family, it's like a single person garbage can, right? And we don't fill it all up. But then if I decide we're going to go out to eat, you know, depending on what, like if we like take food out from like Olive Garden or something, that fills up the whole garbage can. It's like, it's insane. It's, you know, and it's all compostable, you know, packaging, but it's not.
It's all bullshit too. Yeah. You know, watch, there's a great Frontline, I think it was. And was it, who did they do it? Did they do it with NPR? So they did it collaboratively, but it's just all about the bullshit around plastic recycling, especially how it was basically just a pause button for 20 years to continue plastic manufacturers to allow them to destroy the environment by convincing us that by putting those little symbols on the bottom of plastic containers that you're actually recycling.
So like at the beginning of this whole again?
Nope.
At the beginning of this whole pandemic, you know, I stopped buying cans of tomatoes. I was like, I'm going to buy tomatoes. Like, I'm sticking it all in the hot pot anyway and running the hot pot for 4 hours, which is bad too. But, you know, but instead of buying a can, I'll buy, you know, I actually cut down on our, like, I was going crazy for a while. I was like, I'm not using bags, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that. Like, there was a lot. I cut down so much on our waste. And then I wasn't, like, one of the kids, all you know, one of the kids' favorite foods is this frozen pizza, like this real cheap frozen pizza, which is nice. It doesn't come in a box, right? It comes in wrapped plastic and a cardboard, but it generates a little bit of waste, but we don't even need that. We could buy some tomatoes. We could, if we didn't have a tree in our backyard, we could actually grow tomatoes. And then if we had a cow, we could make the cheese, I guess. But there's a lot of different ways that you can that you know, we can cut down on waste. But I haven't been doing that.
It's also the idea of individual responsibility and putting it off on individuals to solve these problems. We have to make huge changes in the way we run our world, and that needs to be done on a large scale rather than on an individual basis. There's, you know, if we completely, you know, reduce our carbon footprint, if we completely zero it out, it's not going to save the world. And if everyone listening does it, it's not going to save the world. We have to do some major changes. Yeah. So,
all right. Preaching to the choir. So I went to, I've decided I wanted to get a tablet because Bag Boy has a tablet and it's so cool and he's drawing on it and stuff. And I was like, I probably should do that. Maybe I would do some art again if I did that, if I had a tablet. And then I remembered that I have like 4 tablets here just over the years. It's just been like, I won a couple of teaching awards and I would get a tablet every time I won a teaching award. Better buy a tablet. Oh, I'll get the small tablet. That'll be easier to hold. I never, ever use a tablet. But then I saw Bag Boy has a tablet, and using a tablet, one thing the tablet has that the laptop doesn't have is an accelerometer and a gyroscope, right? So some of the assignments that I give for students involve a gyroscope. So involve us programming and getting information back, you know, in from the gyroscope. So I was like, oh, well, we should have a couple of tablets, but I never use them at all. They're locked down. And so then I realized that I had one just laying here in the house. And like, I asked one of our colleagues, hey, do you want this? And they were like, oh yeah, sure. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, oh, I guess I'll have to try to figure out how to charge it. And it turns out the charger is just any charger, right? It charges with the same charger as the laptop. Thanks, Bag Boy showed me that. So I started charging it, charged it up to 100%, and then realized I didn't have the password.
Oh.
Like, the password should just be on it. It should be on it. And I tried a whole bunch of passwords and I couldn't do it. So I went on tech support for Samsung because I figured, well, just factory reset it. You know, it's a university device. Just factory reset it. There's nothing on it. So it turns out, like, I was following all the instructions on how to factory reset it from the internet, and it just wouldn't factory reset at all. Like, you know when you're reading the instructions and press this button, hold it down for 17 seconds. And, like, I was doing that, and nothing was happening. And finally, I contacted a chat with the tech support, and I was on with the tech support, and they said, you need to bring it to an authorized Samsung dealer. You can't reset it. A normal person can't reset it. And I was like, what? You know, even there's instructions on the internet that say, take the battery out. You can't get to the battery. Oh, I was so mad. So I had to bring it to Best Buy. So I went, they're letting people into Best Buy now. So I don't know if you've been into a Best Buy lately. The church. We used to call it the church. Yeah, you did, right? And so Best Buy has got a big sign in front of it that explains to you why you need to wear a mask. And I think think of all the assholes who go there on Friday nights who are coming like from Tolono or wherever, whatever the Tolono of Bloomington is.
Nice.
What's the no offense, people who live in Tolono, for real. But like, just imagine the hillbillies coming from the rural areas here who don't believe in the COVID, right? You know, they're coming to like, I'm not going to wear a fucking mask. You know, I think they put them on. I think Best Buy, you know, like you're walking around Jewel and people, like most people, like the people who are not wearing the masks properly in Jewel are few and far between. You go into the Walmart here, no one's wearing a mask. People are wearing masks on their, you know, putting a mask on their dick and stuff and walking around, right? And same with Lowe's, too. People are walking around like actively like, fuck you, I love Trump, I'm not wearing a mask, you know, that type of thing. But Best Buy, it seems like those type of people would go to Best Buy, but they're like, they realize they have to wear a mask in there, you know? Anyway, I went in there, and what happened? The girl took it from, she's like, oh yeah, let me see if I can reset it. And she took it in the back and tried to reset it for like 20 minutes and couldn't brought it back to me and said, you have to take it to Normal Gadgets. So I'm like, okay. So I went to Normal Gadgets, which is not around the corner anymore from Best Buy. It's down in this really interesting area. Like, there's a Cuxulwan There's an actual, remember we were like by the cool Indian, there's a cool Indian restaurant. There's a giant Indian grocery.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? So, and then there's a Kuxul Wan there, which is a, like, I think that's Bruce Lee's martial arts, right? It's, you know, like, I want to bring Dao to the Kuxul Wan, but there's no windows in that place or anything. Anyway, and it didn't look open because it probably shouldn't be at this point, but... But anyway, I walk into normal gadgets and esports. So I walk in there, and it's attached to an esports place, and it smells like probably like old Chicago.
And by old Chicago, you mean the mall that had an amusement park inside it?
Yes.
Outside of Chicago?
Yes.
The city of Chicago.
So what does that smell like?
I don't remember. Oh, it smells like diesel.
Yes.
Yeah.
It smells like exhaust in there.
Yeah,
like
that's
really
right.
Really strange, weird kind of fruity exhaust. And I was like, it's like cigarettes, but it's not. And then I was like, oh, it's vaping. Everybody's just in there vaping probably constantly, right? If you're going to play esports, you're definitely a vapor, right? You have to vape when you play esports.
All right.
So,
man, upset everyone now. No, go on. Yeah.
No, so I like the guy took it from me, like, and he's like, let me see. And he, types something into the internet, and then he takes it out of the case and, like, starts holding on the same buttons that I held down. I go, I tried that. And then... He goes, and then like he clicks on, then he holds down the other buttons, like the, you know, you have to click on a second, that didn't work. Here's the second thing to try, you know, so then he goes, he's holding down the power button, the home button, and the volume up button, and that's supposed to reset it, and you know, that didn't work for me. You're supposed to hold that down for 15 seconds, and I go, I tried that, and that's when he got up and walked out of the room. He went into the back. He went into the back for like 10 minutes and then he came back and it was reset. And I was like, what? How did you do that? And he's like, I just, I couldn't get it to reset either. But the other guy in the back, I said, do you guys have like a giant magnet back there? What do you have? And he laughed like you are laughing right now. And
she knows about the magnets.
There's like a constant parade of women walking in there like, can you fix my laptop? Like there was one before me and then there was me. And then there was somebody else. So yes. I just kept the, you know, I was like, oh my God, you're so amazing. I thought if I like buttered him up, he wouldn't charge me, but.
He did.
Yeah, he probably saw the car, you know. And I was like, this is my first time here. I might be back a lot. And he's like, that'll be $35. And I was like, fuck. And then I said, but I asked him, do you have something back there? And he's like, no, we're not even on an authorized, we're not an authorized Samsung dealer. So now what I want to know is why the fuck the Samsung chat person told me I needed to bring it to an authorized Samsung dealer instead of telling me what?
You can't talk to the first person. You can't listen to the first person. You have to get through the generic phone tree, like answers, like they have, you know, they just have generic stuff that they respond
to.
But
I figure, like, when you're when you're, it tells you, you know, you need to remove the battery, and then you notice that you can't remove the battery from this tablet. Oh,
and they're looking at the same thing, you know, they're looking,
I know,
or
that
they
drives
have the
me
same
crazy.
Information.
Oh, it made me so mad.
They don't even have to look it up, it's just that this person said this, and then they have the response.
Yeah, I know.
You
it's
are
a
not
talking
to anyone.
I know.
It's like what I used to have to do with frickin' Xfinity was also that, where it's like you sat there talking to the person and it was like, well, I don't want to pay this much, you know, it's $30 more a month now. And then it's like you say, you just have to talk to that person for like 20 minutes. And then finally, when you say, well, okay, I want to cancel, then it's like they click you over to the person who will actually give you the discount.
Now, so that's like the pediatrician telling us these kids... They look up how to answer the questions. When I ask you if you're gay, they know how to, like, I say, have you ever wanted to wear a dress before, young man? And then they know how to answer because they looked up the correct answer on the internet.
How to hack the,
how
the
to, the pediatrician.
Biased pediatrician. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's like knowing that you could hit like MASH, what was it, zero or the pound sign in the old days to get through to someone. You know, it's all that kind of stuff. But now, yeah. Yeah. So it's.
Well, anyway, $35 later, tablet is reset.
Good.
And I could have done it myself. And that pisses me off too. Remember that one time that this laptop that I'm using breaks all the time. I have to do the SMC reset once a month. I have to do it.
Mine's been going pretty good. I had to send in while it was still under warranty, I guess it's the last generation of Mac, like 16-inch MacBooks before they go to the M chips, but they haven't made one yet. But so, yeah, it cacked.
Wait, does yours have an M1?
No, it doesn't.
Okay,
it's
all right.
They're gonna make. I'm assuming they're gonna make a 16-inch M1 one, but. Sounding like a Lewis Rossman.
What, who is Lewis? What is who is Lewis Rossman? Lisa, I know who Ben Shapiro is now.
But
that one time I brought it downstairs to you, and I was like, "It's broken," you know, and you were like, I said I held down the power key. And so you held, so Rick, you know, I'm like this, you know, like, it's good, you know, I feel terrible, I'm stupid, I'm helpless and stuff. And then Rick goes, let me try it. And he takes it. There's like no panic at all with you. And he holds down the power button for like probably 45 seconds or a minute and a half, or he like holds it down and then it resets.
But you weren't there when I spent a whole morning with my MacBook, what was it, last summer, trying to get it to charge.
Well, were you crying?
Oh no, yeah, it was like all the right USB-C. They were working, or whatever they're called, Thunderbolt 3 ports. They were working except for things that needed power. It was like somehow. And then trying to get through that phone tree, you know, and explaining, "No, yeah, I did that. I did all this," and actually doing it. I actually did it twice.
Yeah.
All the stuff I did twice on the phone with the person before they finally let me send it in to get repaired.
Remember your Tesla episode too?
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's like the freaking Tesla thing is evidence that you shouldn't do things yourself, right? It's like
in a Tesla.
Well, there's no reason to. Yeah, you just have to bow down to our software and hardware overlords and just let them do what they want to do with your device. You have no rights whatsoever, and you shouldn't try to fix things, right? And that's just because I was born in an era where you could fix things, or you had to fix things, right?
You had to fix your shoes. You couldn't go out to the supermarket and buy new shoes.
Yeah, I actually do remember going with my dad
to the cobbler.
There was a cobbler in downtown Western Springs. It was a severe bald, completely bald.
They're always mean.
Eastern European
the
man.
The ones in Champaign are known as mean also.
He had an impenetrable accent and just seemed angry, but he was probably the first person I ever saw in real life. I mean, there was Telly Savalas, but the only person I had seen in real life who had a shaved head at the time, you know, in 1971, you know, that was an unusual thing. And yeah, he would cobble shoes.
We're getting some information about Lewis Rossman, hopefully I pronounced his name right, but thanks, John Albert.
Yeah,
thanks,
right,
Jonathan
Right to Repair.
Klein.
Yeah, Right to Repair, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And Sarah's, you know, Sarah's had some, she was once sent through to the escalation operator. That's really good. Fixing the fuel pump in the Waffle House parking lot. So yeah. Heidi's listening now. Heidi from Mercy Rule.
Yeah,
Domestica.
Our fuel
nightmares.
Pump was in the parking lot in Seattle. It wasn't. I think it was just a public parking lot. That's where our fuel pump.
Yeah, but so
after the third time, our alternator went up in flames. I actually changed it in a parking lot in front of our loft, in freezing cold weather. I just manually. I did it myself. I bought the, you know, giant bar, whatever it is, for the socket wrench bar, and I changed out it because it was just like, I'm not going to pay a person to switch out another alternator in this burning device, which was the Chevy van. It's like every van had, like every brand of van had its unique things. The Dodge was the door, you know, the door clap or whatever. The, yeah, what are the they
door
called? The
push would
things,
break
right?
or something.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
those
yeah.
would come out.
Yeah.
That but was, the Chevy, that was the Dodge. The Chevy was the alternator.
It would catch on fire.
Yeah.
It would catch on fire. We were driving. I wanted to say something about Mercy Rule, though, you know, like, because I think they probably built their own van because they build everything. Like
they did.
They,
didn't
like,
they, didn't they pull the engine out once?
Yeah, I feel like they did. We'll let Heidi respond to that. See, I mean, and these type of people that would be good to 350 engine. It'd be a good, yeah, it'd be a good exactly. thing to have these people on, you know, like as consultants, you know, like on Radio Zero. Everybody, all of you guys,
consultants for what? An era when you could actually do things to your vehicle and change
well, no,
stuff. And,
like, but
and
hearing that they did all over. That stuff, yeah, hearing yeah, that, no, that they did all that great. Stuff, yeah. made me feel like, oh wow, maybe we can do that. You know, maybe I can do that. Like it's
you can't.
Empowering.
You can't anymore.
You can.
Don't touch the inside of your car. You'll break it or violate the law. Don't touch anything. Just sit down and cry for your mommy digital overlord to come and bring you a replacement.
I'll have to check out these videos. You know what else? You know, as long we're talking about videos, man, I love the Dan Schiffman videos, the coding train videos. I haven't actually watched one like live. He does them live too, but like I feel like I could learn JavaScript if I really wanted to, and then I would be able to teach it better.
And what you mean by that is that JavaScript's not a real language.
I hate JavaScript,
yes, and you don't want to.
I don't want to
invest.
Teach it.
You want to invest just as enough time to teach programming concepts with it rather
through
than
through JavaScript than yeah, actually than teaching actually. JavaScript, because it's like teaching somebody how to break into a bank.
How to make a turtle walk around, go around in circles.
Scratch. No, that's, or yeah. What, yeah, I don't know. Man, I hate JavaScript. Okay. So what do you got? What if
you know, talking about the Tesla, I feel like I sound like some kind of, you know, crazy, you know, startup, you know,
the engine block
libertarian jerk. Because you know, I'm definitely, you know, my opinions about NFTs and blockchain are, I think they're nuanced, and I think, but I also know that I also see when things are being adopted, and you know, it's, you need to be involved in that process and know what's going on. And then you also need to be advocates for change rather than just disengage from it, because all that happens is these things happen. And then all of a sudden, all of us have little computers in our faces all the time, stealing all of our information and are tracking us constantly. And it's like, oh, you know, it's like you could say, I'm never going to use a smartphone. Fuck smartphones. And then everybody on the planet's using smartphones. And the people who said, fuck smartphones, didn't say, hey, wait a minute. You know, what about this? What about that? We should do this. We should make sure that this doesn't happen. That's my feeling about this stuff. But yeah, talking about Elon Musk being on Saturday Night Live.
And did that happen yet?
No, it's happening tomorrow, but we'll forget.
Oh, for Mother's
by
Day?
Next, yeah, for
it's
Mother's
happening
Day.
Tomorrow? I'm going to watch it because I think he's probably an asshole, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing is like, so what I want to talk about is this fiction that it's somehow lowering the standards of what Saturday Night Live is. And so I would like
what?
To...
What?
Yeah.
Like I'm like, going to actually watch it.
Who are saying,
I'm actually going to watch it because of this. Sorry.
But people are saying it's wrong to have someone who's just, who's, you know, semi-toxic and then, you know, a billionaire and, you know, a symbol of everything that's wrong with, you know, 1%.
Wasn't Trump,
1/10 of 1%
Trump
culture.
Trump was on there already.
Yeah, Trump was,
he's
Trump
not
has been
semi-toxic,
on twice. Trump
though.
Was on in 2016. And,
did anybody
and
complain?
I complained, and you can go back and listen to the episode. And I want to complain about Lorne Michaels. I mean, I reminded everyone that Lorne Michaels worked on Laugh-In when Richard Nixon was on fucking Laugh-In, humanized. Our demon overlord of the 60s and early 70s was humanized by being on Laugh-In. You know, he was on a cool comedy show and he said, sock it to me. And it's like, oh, I'll vote for Richard Nixon. He's a human being, you know, and it was just a complete echo of that.
Hey, Rick, who would you rather have
Donald
a beer
Trump.
With?
Richard Nixon or Donald Trump?
Who would you rather
you know
have
what?
A beer with?
I'd have, I shouldn't say this. I'd have a poison I'd have a poison six pack and I would drink it. I would die. And Donald Trump and Richard Nixon, if he wasn't dead already, would die. Yeah, Saturday neoliberalism. Exactly.
And so
no one knows. I mean, the total nerds like Ron Nessen, I believe his name was not the speechwriter, who's the person, press manager, what do they call those people for the president? For Gerald Ford was on frickin' Saturday Night Live, you know, the first season.
Was the host?
Yeah, was the host. And they've had all sorts of cockamamie hosts in the past. Anybody
should host it. Unless it really has to be a comedian. Like I feel like that's stepping out a little. That's good. That's broadening the horizon. You know,
I'm like where the episodes that were the funniest were always the ones with actual comedians. And just this season there was the guy from.
The person of color from England who you liked?
Yeah, he was
White
great.
House press secretary.
Was, yeah, White House press
Thanks,
secretary.
John
Thank
Albert.
You. His episode, I was like, okay, he brought in someone from the UK, some actual funny
Rick
British
actually,
comedian.
Yeah,
I actually enjoyed the
that.
Whole episode
yeah.
because they obviously got a ringer in to help him, you know, to write his stuff or something. So, you know, name
well,
any
it's
of the...
it's going to be aimed towards either towards your crotch, like people's crotches, or aimed towards your head.
Yeah, but just this idea that somehow having Elon Musk on is somehow... going over a line that hasn't been gone over like in the 45 years. How long has this show been on? It's so many times, you know, George McGovern was on and it's like, well, it would have been great if George McGovern was on, you know, in 1972, even though it wasn't on yet. Right. You know, it's like help out George McGovern.
So people
you know,
can't,
when we needed him.
People just couldn't complain about these other hosts. That's all. There was no internet to complain.
Exactly.
About. Now there is. So how does that change things?
And so that's the reality too, is it's going to be, you're going to watch it. You don't ever watch it. You'll like walk in and watch a little bit. You're going to watch it. All that's going to happen is they're going to get the highest ratings of the year and possibly in the past 5 years for Saturday Night Live. That's all that matters to them.
Well, and then I'll have something to do tomorrow night too. I won't have to just sit and stare at Pinterest and
but it's
not do anything.
Not maintaining our society and culture, because of course they threw that out the window when they had Trump on and Jimmy Fallon too when he humanized Trump. These people are
you're
awful
saying that those
entertainment
people,
monsters that moved into politics, right? So if Elon Musk runs for president, I'd be upset too, right? But it is actually Elon Musk being on doesn't bother me as much as Trump when Trump was on during the election. That's what bothered
me.
Oh,
during the election, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's did they have the other
They humanized
people?
Him. Made him seem like a human being, which is wrong.
Why did they do that? Aren't they liberals? Oh, for ratings. For ratings. Too.
Yeah, for ratings and because I don't trust Lorne Michaels. I don't think he's a real
kind of shifty
liberal. I don't know. No, well, it's ratings and
so are
you
saying
you could even be cynical and say it was the best thing that ever happened to Saturday Night Live was to have Donald Trump as president. So
yeah.
So again for ratings.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm sure that's what Alec Baldwin thought to himself every time he played Trump was like, I'm
someday this presidency's gonna end.
But also am I part of the problem or am I providing
It's both, Alec. All right. So what else you got? That's exciting. Should I do a review of the new Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah, because no one's gonna watch that.
You know, it's weird. Like, I remember, like, my friends just being like, you gotta watch it. It's making me so angry. You know, I was like, what, you know, really? Really? And then I watched it, and I was like, I was really getting into it. I, you know, during the Trump era, I think it was kind of fun to watch. because it was like, well, it's probably not going to get this bad, but it's kind of like in my worst nightmares, it will be this bad. And now, but now it kind of seems like, I know you can't watch it because it's over the top to you. You just can't see women being hurt that badly.
I could watch the first season. I just felt as it moved into the second season, I'm just watching the same thing over and over again. And I don't feel, you know, any hope or resolution, and it didn't.
That's kind of how I feel about Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, there was a little hope when they got to Canada and stuff. But I'm watching it. I don't know, the third episode. Yeah, something like, I don't know. It seemed a little over the top to me. I was like, oh man, really? You know, really? We're gonna have to watch like the dramatic music. And I'm not used to watching any kind of TV or movies or anything. So I don't even know how to watch that stuff anymore. You know, like, if I'm going to watch like pictures flashing, like moving picture, if I'm going to watch the moving pictures, I'm probably going to just rewatch Star Wars or something like that. Cause I'm so afraid that somebody's going to manipulate my feelings and just make me angry or make me sad or something. I don't like my feelings being manipulated. So should I watch Midsommar or what?
I don't think so.
So, but usually you guys are like, you know, no, I'll watch it. It'll be good. This will be good and stuff. And then a small child dies no matter what, but then it's okay. Like this is, you guys are just like, is this like Poltergeist bad or like I'm going to be, or is it just like the inside of people's heads exploding or what? Like, is it gory or?
Yeah, it's gory. There's gory elements.
So we just watched,
but it's not just the gore. So there's the thing, there's.
We watched, you know, there's Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, exactly. There's that kind of bullshit gore, which I don't like. But then there's kind of like psychological horror, right? And so I think Midsommar has like, yeah, it's the difference between like when you're watching sort of superficial gore, you feel like if someone like our 17-year-old watching superficial gore, it's kind of like, okay, this could do him damage, but it'll be like damage in the way where it's like you start getting desensitized to violence. Whereas something like Midsommar, it's like, oh, I think this might do like psychological damage to a child watching it because it's traumatic. It makes you think about things you don't want to think about. It makes you, yeah, it's much deeper in terms, the gore is not the worst part of it.
So the first movie that I remember just deciding to not watch because I didn't want the psychological trauma was Sophie's Choice.
Yeah, and so you're talking about psychological trauma that's based on like motherhood and stuff like that. And yeah. So Midsommar doesn't have that.
It's, okay.
Yeah, and like so the person we were talking to the other day said, you know, a bunch of grad students get killed. Well, Spoiler alert. You could get into that, right?
Yeah, especially now.
Just a joke.
I'm just kidding. We love our graduate students. The whole thing was.
But these are graduate students in anthropology, I believe so.
Yeah, Does the person who wrote it not like graduate students in anthropology, or were they a graduate student in anthropology?
Like, what do you, no, it's just, it makes sense within the context of the film that they're young people. Yeah, like, so instead of having stupid high school kids getting murdered, it's college students, so you got to go deeper, right? Yeah. No, it's...
Well... You know, so like I want to spend time with the kids and stuff because they're growing up and they're going to leave us and never talk to us ever again,
right?
when it's going to be really fun to talk to them when they're adults and stuff, right? They're going to hate us. They'll talk to us once a week.
Yeah. So if you're looking for something to do with the 17-year-old to have some quality time, yeah, definitely watch Midsommar together.
Man. All right.
Yeah, talking about Handmaid's Tale and then the 1984, which is so grim. Yeah, the 1984-85 version of 1984 is so devastating and hopeless, right?
So the problem I'm having, you know, the main character in The Handmaid's Tale is so, like... She's really principled. She's fighting. She's, everything is for her daughter. She wants to get back to her daughter, but yet she gave her daughter up, let her daughter go to Canada or something, right? And then, you know, she stayed back to fight. And then there are these like evil people who are, you know, I mean, the kind of biblical sort of like, you know, what is that called? Hypocrisy. The biblical hypocrisy to me is similar to like the Borat stuff. And I like that. I think that's, you know, that's funny because that's JD. JD likes Midsommar. JD, you need to come watch that with Graham here.
And if you want to do some deep dives into Midsommar and Wicker Man and then the remake of Wicker Man, check out Lost and Found and Rewound. Lots of talk.
You talked about, that's right.
Yes. Yeah. Lots. It was sort of in early episodes of that show. There were lots of obsessing and re-obsessing over Midsommar and Wicker Man.
Who liked it? Not you.
I think Chris, it's a great movie. I think it's a great movie. Midsommar. I think Midsommar is a great movie, but I watched it twice, and I didn't need to watch it twice, and I don't ever want to watch it again. So, and what's interesting is that we talked about Wicker Man, and then also Neil LaBute did a version of Wicker Man with Nicolas Cage, you know, what, 10 or 20 years ago, and Neil LaBute has made many movies that a few movies that I thought were good, but never wanted to see again, too. So, yeah.
So, JD should have been here during the Tenet month. Like, you guys went, like, you know, Rick, we wouldn't go anywhere out of the house or anything. Rick wouldn't go to the store, but you actually went to the theater with Graham to see Tenet.
Yeah.
And Graham said that you were crying.
No, it was more complicated than that. It had not the bees. Yes, thank you. It has not. Yeah, no. It was unfair of him to say that, and he said that to humiliate me, and it's a misrepresentation of what happened.
Were you laughing so hard you were crying?
It had nothing to do with the movie. It had to do with our relationship and stuff we were talking about. So.
Aww.
Yeah, and so he just superficially reduced that down to something like that.
Okay.
That you would bring up during a podcast also.
I think that's funny. So, like, you know, I was talking with another family member today about like, dealing with bullies. How about that? Like, not that you're a bully or anything, but, like, other family members who are bullies, you know, and then, like, how just dealing with somebody saying something to you that just absolutely, like, you know, like knifes you in the heart.
Yeah.
And then whether or not that person so the person will say something that knifes you in the heart, and then, you know, you have to do something to make sure to unknife yourself. Like, you have to, like, they say, for example, if you don't do this with me, then I'm going to you have to do this with me. And then so the person goes ahead and does the thing, and then they feel bad, right? And then I came to the realization that you don't have to feel so bad, because sometimes the person who's guilting you into something doesn't really, you know, is not really thinking too hard about it. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like when I used to drop the kids off at daycare and they'd cry. And especially for me, like, because a mom shouldn't be dropping her kids off at daycare. The mom needs to stay home and take care of the kids. Right. And so if you're ever in that position where you're dropping the kid off at daycare and your kid is going to cry their eyes out, and if you have a good daycare, the daycare woman is going to say 5 minutes after you leave, this kid's going to be playing with all the other kids. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. You know, and then if it's a really good daycare, they'll say, you know what? I'll call you. You call me and you find out. You'll hear. I'll tell you that that your child stopped crying. You know, and then you get over it. Okay. So you don't have to feel guilty for leaving your kid at daycare. Just like you don't have to feel guilty about not doing something that somebody else is asking you to do sometimes, you know, if it's just a favor for them or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Tom Meyer remembers listening to Radio Zero when Graham was born.
Yikes.
It's been, I remember, and it had been going on for a while before that, too. It's, well, not that, oh, when did this podcast start? 1999, right?
8, 9, something like that, 98, 99.
And we did a couple in 1998. Okay, what else you got?
Did I already talk about The Price is Right?
No, you should talk about The Price is Right.
24-hour loop they have on some one of those free channels.
Rick is watching that with our 12-year-old.
The Bob Barker era. I just can't stop watching it. Like when I get done, like when I'm exhausted after work, you know, after a 12-hour Zoom session or something, I'll just sit for an hour and watch a 1983 or 84 version of The Price is Right. And I'm trying to understand what's so magical about it. And maybe it's a Midwestern thing, right? Like about getting deals, right? So we always talk about that. Like whenever you buy something, you have to explain how you got it on sale and everything like that. It's like
does this happen on... It's a characteristic of the Midwest, right? Somebody sees, you know, somebody sees the car and then I got to go, this was the cheap one. This was the cheap exactly. one. No, I got this. These are secondhand and stuff.
Exactly. You have to... And so something about the deal, but that would be let's make a deal, I guess. But no, Price is Right. Yeah. And just knowing how much something costs and then, it's just very engaging because you guess also. So it's kind of like Jeopardy, except without as much thought, right? It's like a capitalist, version of Jeopardy. Jeopardy favors, knowing trivial information about a wide range of subjects and... Price is Right is understanding capitalism.
So two questions for you. Did you watch this as a child?
Yeah. Well, that's what's interesting.
It? Yeah.
It's the music. Yeah, the music is really great. It is super well, already by that time, it's so structured. The music, the sounds. Yeah. And it's gambling, I guess, too, right?
Spay and neuter your pets.
Yeah, exactly. So these episodes... started saying it yet. They're not editing anything.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see. But here's the thing.
Seidner says roommate at ISU was a contestant on The Price is Right. Wow, yeah. The music
what
is amazing.
What year is the question? I was homesick in my senior year of high school in the spring of 1984. I had to stay home for 6 weeks because I had hepatitis contracted from a steak I ate on a boat in Cancun. A very raw,
fucking
sketchy
privileged asshole. I thought you got it from a
steak.
Toilet working as a janitor.
Well, I could have, but nobody else in the grade school had hepatitis from what I heard. And it's more likely to get foodborne illnesses on a boat
in Cancun. You went to Cancun?
Yeah.
Wow. We went to Mazatlan.
And we were traveling around and we were seeing other stuff. We didn't just go to Cancun. You know, we went to Chichen Itza and stuff like that.
You actually have a story about the steak too, right? You wanted to eat it rare and your dad was like, no. Like it was like your
dad was
right.
Well, it was really rare. I think everyone was worried about me eating this steak and eating on this boat. And I ordered a steak on this boat. It was like a restaurant on a boat. And everyone else was kind of like, I'm not sure that's a good idea. But of course, I was 17, so I ate this extremely raw steak. It could have been somewhere else. It could have been in another restaurant. But nobody else in my family got hepatitis.
Wow. Walt Levinsky, the guy who wrote the music to The Price is Right, got royally fucked in his contract. See, the plot thickens. So anyway, all right, so you're home with hepatitis.
What's great is when the kids see The Price is Right logo, they say, oh... They're using the same
Grand Theft Auto.
That's the Grand Theft Auto text typeface. It's like, yeah, they're saying it now just to irritate me.
So every night, Rick comes back from work. We eat dinner. He sits after. Then he goes back downstairs and works for a while, for a long time. Like, what time do you decide to start? Yeah, what's your
around
schedule?
10-ish. I'll come up and watch an episode of The Price is Right.
And by an episode, you mean until
and actually
midnight.
Last night. So. The thing is after dinner last night, I fell asleep and then woke up and then couldn't watch The Price is Right because our kid was watching something else. And so I went upstairs and then I tried to go to bed and I couldn't go to sleep. And so I came downstairs around 2 a.m. and watched The Price is Right. And it was somebody got within $100 in the Showcase Showdown.
Wow.
It was a double showcase. Somebody won the double showcase. It was very exciting.
How do they decide, what is it, Pluto TV, not a sponsor? How do they decide to loop The Price is Right?
Like, they have all sorts of channels like that. They're looping old Doctor Who episodes. They're looping, you know, the game show network. They know.
So weird.
They know. They know that people want to watch, you know, Bob Barker for hours at a time. The problem, that what's really irritating, what they do is the Showcase Showdown, the result of it always happens after the hour. And then, so they do a commercial like they always did right before they reveal who won, right? But that's always at the hour.
Right.
So it's shifted a bit. And then the show ends and then they start a new episode without a commercial break. And so there was a couple days where I wound up, like, normally I go to bed at like 11 or 12 and I wound up going to bed at 1 because I just had to watch another episode.
Because it goes right into it. Yeah. 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 They know.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I was homesick for 6 weeks, so I'm waiting for it to kind of loop to the point where it gets to the spring of 1984 when maybe I'll see an episode I remember, because that was the kind of thing. That's when you would watch The Price is Right, is when you were homesick from school. You'd only watch it once in a while. And yeah, so I'm hoping like there'll be a moment where I all of a sudden, you know, have that deja vu. I guess it's not really deja vu. And it's just like, oh my God, I remember seeing this 40 years ago.
So the cars are all like about 4,000. Oh, you ever? So
cars
are
so crappy.
Wait. Yeah,
we did talk about this last time.
I did want to ask you though. So do you with your 2021 brain now? Does this seem like, you know, like easy for like easy to game? Like
here's the thing is, yeah. I think it's what's weird is it seems like dishwashers and refrigerators are still around the same price, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And so, and the initial prizes where they have contestants row and everyone guesses, it doesn't seem that different. The prices don't seem
a set of steak knives,
or I'm just, or it is basically my. And this is what happens to everyone, right? It's like the grandma, when I would deliver on my paper route, she would give me a quarter for a Coca-Cola,
right?
Because she thinks a Coca-Cola was, you know, 25 cents. And so you, at some point you freeze at what a price of something is, right? You have no, and it's like, what do you mean a refrigerator's $10,000 now? kind of thing. But that doesn't seem to be the case with these heavy duty appliances, but things like, yeah, like the projection TV or the VCRs. What else?
Heidi says her mom would allow 1 hour TV, no soap operas, only The Price is Right. It explains. That makes me feel good.
it's strange, though. It is like indoctrination into capitalism and gambling, right? It's just all about gambling and money. It's weird. All right. Next week, we'll talk more about these same things.
You don't have anything else? Just
no,
The Price.
And we're okay. We're over an hour here.
All right. Thank you for listening. Yeah, I'm going to read a book.
Go read a book, everyone.